kick to win it. Oh! Blocked! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won!
Kevin Harlan on the call. We've been playing all the calls today. Mitch Holthus earlier from right here on 96.5 The Fan. That was Kevin Harlan from CBS. We also played the Broncos radio call. We'll mix those in throughout the show today. What a win it was for Kansas City. Thanks for hanging out with us here on a Monday, a Victory Monday. More importantly, Veterans Day in the United States as well. Thank you to the vets out there, those that are currently serving as well. And we appreciate all of you. Thank you guys also for hitting us up on the text line today, interacting. I know a lot of you are also still working today. And look, this isn't work. We're talking about the Chiefs blocking kicks being 9-0. Let's be real. We're talking about a win yesterday.
I didn't see this tweet 2 days ago. We were talking about left tackle. Did you see David Bakhtiari's tweet 2 days
ago? No, I saw Donovan Smith in game responded to a fan.
2 days ago. So on Saturday, David Bakhtiari sent out a tweet that said, "Hey, Patrick Mahomes, if your Texas Tech football team beats my Colorado Buffs football team, I'll come play left tackle for you."
Well, by the way, Colorado won that game.
Timing of that. Whew.
Yeah. No, Donovan Smith responded to a fan.
So Bakhtiari's out?
Donovan Smith responded to a fan. Yeah. And we'll get back to the offensive line discussion later. Donovan Smith would make the most sense to back up Wanya Morris because he knows the offense already, versus Bakhtiari has never been in the system, to my knowledge, right? So that's why that one's a little bit interesting. But we'll get to there. We'll get there. Again, also Andy Reid's going to speak at noon exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. There's one bit of criticism. Well, there's things to be critical of yesterday. We O-line and the special teams kickoff before the block. There's another area, though, you don't think is warranted.
Sure. So I guess call me a homer, because that seems to be the prevailing thought on social media, or maybe I'm blind or poor at evaluating it. This feels like a great one for calls to 913-586-7965. If you think I'm wrong, pick up the phone. 913-586-7965. I do not understand anyone who is telling me Patrick Mahomes is playing like ass. I don't get it. And I need someone to explain to me if I am watching a different football game than everyone else. Up until, and I'm not saying he's never missed a throw. The first two things people are going to point out is he missed Travis Kelce in the back of the end zone.
He did.
And he missed Xavier Worthy on the sideline when he had scrambled and went back to him late. He did. I am not denying missed throws by Patrick Mahomes. I will tell you those happen in every game for most quarterbacks. He definitely missed those throws, the more important one being the Travis Kelce one, because that could have made it a touchdown instead of a field goal. Knowing what his offensive line was for a majority of the game yesterday, that he's still down, the weapons that he was down. Up until that Xavier Worthy miss, and I sent it out, and clearly it was all by myself, I thought Patrick Mahomes might have been playing a perfect football game. I thought he might have been playing near perfect, as a matter of fact. Over his last three games, he has 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, is completing 72% of his passes. He's avoiding sacks that should absolutely be sacks. He's throwing guys off his back to complete 31-yard passes to DeAndre Hopkins on third down. He's getting Samaje Perine on third and long in unlikely scenarios. Am I missing something? Am I alone here? Do other people agree with me? Social media would have me convinced I'm a homer. Then it's okay to be critical of Patrick Mahomes. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? He is playing legitimately great football. And I feel like I'm the only person who is saying.
You're such a homer, man.
Like, what is the stance here?
Such a homer. No, look, there is reality of his play hasn't been up to, I think this is why people are pointing this out to, up to the MVP standard and the with the ease that he had in 2018 and 2019. And that is why people view it that way. I think the recent misses on some deep passes has just been frustrating.
The deep pass has been off
for sure. some people. Now, last week was on Worthy, not on Mahomes. This week was on Mahomes, not on Worthy, right? On the one down the sideline where Worthy got a little banged up. And I'm sure Worthy's frustrated with some of that. I mean, you could probably argue he should have 3 or 4 deep touchdown passes over the last month, and they just haven't connected. That's something that's going to continue to take some time. I think the miss with Kelce was the one that's magnified, because if they get that, then they're not in a situation where the Broncos can drain the clock and kick that field goal. But overall, you have to also deal with the circumstance of this offense. You mentioned a couple of the wide receivers still that are out. Also, the very offensive line problems that we've been discussing today. the fact that when Wanya Morris went down, his left tackle was a turnstile, and he was getting either going to get crushed or have to quickly get rid of the football. So I think we have to factor in what he's working with.
Yes.
He is not. He's also just judged on a different scale, Cody. That's part of it here. He's judged on a different scale, fair or not.
He's without his number one, number two wide receivers, his number one running back. His left tackles had to change. Like
I told you over and over again, with whether it's Mahomes, whether it's this idea of like the Chiefs win by narrow margins, so much of this is because sports betting and their props, like their player props. People are mad because he didn't go over his total on a player prop or whatever. And fantasy football. We've said this time and time again with a lot of stuff. We live in the fantasy football world, and so Xavier Worthy or anybody, any Mahomes, pick any player on the team, if they don't get them 20 points in their fantasy league, they think the guy sucks. And that's the reality of 2024 football fan. We're all guilty of it. We all play fantasy football, but I think that also is contributing to this. And Mahomes is, the bar is just way high for him because of how amazing he's been.
We've talked about it a couple times, you know, to go along, to pair it with the offensive line play. I don't know if he's making decisions fast enough. Somebody from the 816 texts, and maybe because he's also worried that he's going to get killed from behind.
Right. Yep.
And there was a play where I don't know if he was mad at Carson Steele, but the broadcast had mentioned it after he got planted from behind. That was one of the biggest plays that there was they were essentially saved on a defensive holding call, I think, at the same play. He was mad at Carson Steele. Mahomes was because he wanted him to go on the other side and help Kingsley or whatever. But I think he's cognizant of that too much, where he can't just focus on what he's supposed to be doing because he's worried that he's going to get blindsided from behind. I think that it makes his decision. He's almost second guessing decisions. He wants to make sure that he makes the right play. He can't trust the offensive line. I think all of it comes down to him not looking like the Patrick Mahomes that we've seen in the past couple of seasons throughout his whole career.
But it could be so easily explained away, not by Patrick Mahomes is not playing great or really good or high level quarterback. And that what happened in the early part of the season was he lost all his weapons, right? Oh, he's struggling. Okay. He had no one to throw to. Logical, makes sense. What they had done to adjust to that, Drew, at that time was Mahomes was leaving the pocket too early. He wasn't as sure about his offensive line. His guys were open. Over the last 3 weeks, what he has done is stayed in the pocket. And now what I'm getting is the people be like, well, he's taking too long to make a decision. He's getting a sack. I'm like, no, he's getting a sack because he's not leaving the pocket early because you told him he needed to stick around.
And also he's
trying to get the deep pass going. And as a result of that, he's turning the ball over less. He's been more efficient. And they've been, up until last week, scoring more points. Over the last 3 weeks, even if I include this week, in which they only scored 16, they're averaging 25 points a game. That'd be a top 10-ish offense in the league. And that's including a bad performance against point performance against Denver. I feel like there's so many people who are like, he's not the same. He'll never be the same. He's not that quarterback anymore. And I'm just like, are you?
It's not necessarily, it's not his fault though, that he's that way. I think he's still dealing with the factors.
Even though he makes it look easy with the ankle, he still has an ankle injury.
That might have been why he still has an ankle injury.
Except early on in the game, it looked like the ankle wasn't a problem at all. But it's still something that he's going to be playing with the rest of the season. So it's not excuse making. I think it's a reality of the situation. There were moments where he looked awesome yesterday. He also, of course, missed on two particular pass plays that were big plays that would have been touchdowns. So they are magnified. And the rest of his career, and it's been this way for years now, he's just judged on a different scale. Locally, nationally, whatever it may be, it's not fair. It is what it is.
Different grading system.
You know, that doesn't even include the ridiculous conspiracy theories about the audio that, you know, of him asking the ref and all. You guys see that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
there was an audio clip. I guess during that, I wasn't watching at home.
Yes.
I was there, but like I heard.
You can hear it in the background.
There was a CBS clip that basically you can hear Mahomes like asking, we think the ref or somebody like, let me know when he's close. Twitter, of course, takes off and takes that as like, oh, they're asking the refs to let him know when the defender. Oh, my goodness. Defender's getting close. He was asking about Juwan Taylor lining up properly and when he's close on the alignment, like that is my understanding.
Yes.
And so, of course, Twitter took it as, oh, Mahomes is literally asking the ref for help. And it's just like, people are lazy and it fits their narrative and people love conspiracy theories more than ever. So that's why.
I mean, there does seem to be a prevailingly large number of conspiracy theories against the Chiefs. I'll be honest. I think that might have kicked up with the Taylor Swift stuff. I think Taylor Swift showed up and then they're like, the leagues, they're all doing it for Taylor.
She was there again yesterday, of course, supporting her boyfriend.
She was. Like most people, like there are lots of wives and girlfriends at the games.
Did you see the clip? She was you know, on the golf cart or whatever, getting into the stadium, the underbelly of the stadium, if you will,
the tunnel.
And like, I don't know if it was her person or Chiefs PR or somebody's like, basically like, get back or stay back. And she's like, stay back, please. So like, just like, she was like almost correcting the PR staff or whoever that was, security or whatever,
you
that was like, yelling at the media that was lined up to stay away. That was so just, again, once again, speaks to her.
How come we haven't, the next game, should one of us stand down there at the tunnel to get the, here comes Taylor walking
no
in the building
in
shot?
Doing this. Somebody, I don't need to do that. I don't need to get there that much earlier just to see her or anybody walking. Like, that's my thing about, like, not even, this is nothing against her. This is a player thing. Like, yeah. I don't need to stand there early to see what outfit Travis Kelce's wearing walking in the stadium. Cool. Also, I know the Chiefs will post it as well. Like, I don't need to be there to see Creed Humphrey wearing the same shirt that says, this is my Broncos game shirt. Like, I know that he's wearing that. Like, I'm good. I don't need to be there at 8 a.m. making sure I see what they're wearing walking in. I'm good.
Someone says from the 660, apparently all the Mahomes criticizers that text in only must watch the Chiefs games and not the rest of the league. Because that's the other part of it, is that if you've just been watching Patrick Mahomes and almost strictly Chiefs games, you probably are skewed in what you're seeing. If you watched quarterback play across the league, there are a handful of quarterbacks who are playing better than Patrick Mahomes right now, statistically. I will still say circumstances matter. Like, for instance, Joe Burrow's having a better statistical season than Patrick Mahomes.
Big-time numbers.
Inarguable.
Yeah.
Tons of touchdowns, very few interceptions, lots of yards. He has his full complement. He has Ja'Marr Chase back. He's missed T. Higgins for a game, maybe two.
Five games this year.
Is it five? My God. I didn't realize T. Higgins had missed that much.
He's not going to get paid that much.
But,
as much he wants.
But, when you look at like where they are, they've had, you know, like a better complement of their weapons than they have in this. He's having a great year. It's fine. One guy's winning all the time, too, because that's the other part of it. When he's a two-time defending Super Bowl champion, and they're 9-0, do you really feel like, if it weren't for only not Mahomes, where would this team be? I don't know, 9-0?
Well, along
if you play 10% better, it'd be 9-0, I guess.
Well, along the lines of that, too, like you mentioned, like the text line mentions other people missing throws. You mentioned how good of a season Joe Burrow's having. He had those two throws on 4th-and-2 bad decisions. He's making the bad decision. Like, he made bad throws. I guess in a way you can do this with everybody. Just as much as I might talk about Joe Burrow, or somebody might talk about Josh Allen, you can say, well, they're excuses. We can sound like we're making excuses for Patrick Mahomes, but in reality, he doesn't have the full complement. His offensive line stunk yesterday, and I think it all, in part, is affecting the way that he goes about his business. Like, it can sound like an excuse, but if it's realistic, then, and it's actually happening, then, you know, Patrick Mahomes might not look as good because, yes, the numbers aren't there, but there are other external factors that are impacting the way that he looks. It's not an excuse. It's just the way that things are going this season.
Again, a reminder, Andy Reid, noon, coming up right here on 96.5 The Fan, the only place you can hear from Andy on a Monday after a win in this case, and all year has been the case, is 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to the trash of the day in just a second, but we'll have all week to talk about a huge game that is Sunday afternoon, Bills, Chiefs, huge implications for the number one seed and all that, but just after yesterday, just a quick peek at what the Bills have been up to here recently. They get the win against the Colts, 30-20. Joe Flacco threw like two picks in the first 5 minutes of the game or whatever it is. The Colts did find a way to get back at one point and actually took the lead. But ultimately, Josh Allen and the Bills get the win. And so it sets up an 8-2 Bills team against a 9-0 Kansas City team. How do you guys view them right now as we'll get deeper into this? But looking at Buffalo, the one thing that happened yesterday was Josh Allen did have two interceptions. He only had, I think, one all year. Is that right? Heading into the game?
Yeah. He'd been nearly perfect. He made two, like, Josh Allen interceptions. You know, the ones that we'd be critical of in previous years are like, oh, no, Josh, not that. Where's that throw going? And Joe Flacco pretty much handed them a double-digit
three interceptions.
Point.
Had three picks yesterday. He was terrible. The one thing that I like from
fine. I don't know. They've got a five-game winning streak, but they haven't beaten anybody good in the five games, so I don't know.
The one thing I liked for the Chiefs' sake about what the Colts did, even in a losing effort against Buffalo, and we'll see, is that they were able to run the ball on
really
Buffalo.
Well.
And we know Kansas City has been able to. The Broncos did a very nice job on Kareem Hunt yesterday.
He still had 100 all-purpose yards.
He did, because of the receiving yardage, yes. But Jonathan Taylor had 114 yards on the ground. And I know Jonathan Taylor's historically been one of the better running backs in football over the last decade when he's healthy. But that was a promising sign. Like, you're looking for areas where can the Chiefs replicate what a Colts team did to have some success? And we know the Chiefs are better than the Colts, but just trying to get an idea. And that was one area. I liked seeing that they had success on the ground. I also know that Patrick Mahomes is not throwing three interceptions like Joe Flacco did to aid the Buffalo Bills.
No, when I watch the Bills, I think it's fairly obvious that, like the Chiefs, they win games even if it's like dicey, right? Like, they barely beat Miami. A few weeks ago, they barely beat the Jets. They have not played good teams, but they've won five in a row. Jets, Titans, Seahawks, Dolphins, and Colts. It's not exactly murderer's row on their way to five straight wins. But their only losses this year are against Baltimore and at Houston. Those are reasonable losses, especially because at the time they lost to Houston, they still had Nico Collins. So, like, those are reasonable NFL losses. And if you look at the entirety of what they do outside of that, they're the second best team in the AFC. The only thing that gives me a little pause on them is I would say that they're a year ahead of schedule as far as I think they had accepted. And we'll ask Mike Shope this later in the week. I think they had kind of accepted a half step back mentality in order to be full force the following year. It's why they were willing to, like, let go of Diggs and pay off some of these players. I think because of the cap situation they were in, they were like, hey, we can't just go all the way in this year. We'll run into problems. We have to, like, little backseat it and then get back into it. So there's times where I'm like, is eventually this going to turn into a pumpkin with your receiver core?
But that's why I think it was the move to go get Amari Cooper was so big, because I'm with you that it looked like they were willing to, you know, move back a little bit to set themselves up for the future. But then they went and were aggressive with an Amari Cooper trade. Thinking of that, that'll be one to watch injury-wise throughout the week. Keon Coleman has probably going to miss Sunday. Cooper's going to be questionable most of the week. Dalton Kincaid got a little banged up, so we'll see what their health is.
He never came back in the game.
Offensive weapon-wise for the Bills, we're too early in the week to get a good feel on that. But later on, you said it, Mike Shope, our sister station up at WGR 550. Basically, what has become our annual conversation with him, if not multiple times a year now. I was already on with him last week. It's just, we're just doing this whole thing again. Let's do this whole, the Chiefs Bills again. Here we go.
Hello.
It's kind of the same thing over and over. All right, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
This is actually a follow-up on something we had, I think, like a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. It was an update from there's a Twitter account that only tweets about space, okay? And it was an update in collaboration with NASA. And there's an asteroid, if you guys remember, from 2 years ago that was brought up. And I was like, oh, this one might actually collide with Earth, all right? And it had, at that time, a 1 in 400 chance of colliding with Earth. Good news! We have an update! Good
news! That
seems
a little too high.
Well, that's... NASA is continuing to monitor this asteroid that could collide with Earth on Valentine's Day 2046. Now it is a 1 in 607 chance. So it's getting less and less likely. It was 1 in 400.
Do we have missiles to shoot that thing out of the sky by then?
Well,
Come on. Again,
we'll get the Armageddon plot. We'll get some oil rig guys, and we'll go and send them up to the asteroid. They'll plant a nuclear weapon on the asteroid, and all will be fine.
Can I say that, it, like, in retrospect, it would have been a lot easier to teach the astronauts how to use drilling equipment?
That's not what Armageddon told me. They had to bring in Bruce Willis and company. They had to bring him in. Ben Affleck. They had to bring him in to get it happen, to make it happen. So here's more on this. So the asteroid was, as I said, 1 in 400 previously. It's called 2023 DW. It's the size of an Olympic swimming pool or even larger. Now, I don't know if that's the size of an Olympic swimming pool. Is that enough to end the Earth? I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Is that?
Yeah.
Speed?
If it's in at that speed, that amount of time, that'd leave a pretty massive impact on Earth.
I know typically you're trying to stress what to get for your wife on Valentine's Day. 2046, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That you don't. 1 in 607 chance.
How old will I be in 2046?
Don't worry about
it. That's 22 years.
22 years from now, I'll be 62 years old.
Someone on the text line says, a 1 in 607 chance I make parlays with longer odds. I'm just saying.
That's,
it's
like
gotten
a
better.
10-team money line bet, you know?
It was 1 in 400, so we're trending in the right direction. Hopefully, we got an update a year from now, and it's 1 in 800. I'm sure we're fine. 2046. Got 22 years.
Someone said, NASA's lying. Space is not real.
We don't need to go back down that road thinking of conspiracy theories.
That's a bold
space? Just all of
that's both.
What is this then? A simulation? Is
that's
this the Matrix?
This goes back to the and I asked you about your family member, or excuse me, your wife. And about, like, what do you think that thing is up there during the eclipse? Did someone just hold a piece of paper in front of the sun for a little bit? Like, what happened? Like,
they turned the projector off.
To back up my wife's take, saying space is not real is way bolder than saying the moon is fake.
They're both a little out there.
But space being not real altogether.
She believes in other planets. She thinks Jupiter exists.
Okay, that's good. And I saw some new pictures of Jupiter from the Webb telescope.
Oh, yeah, those
incredible.
Are cool.
So you think that's real, at least?
I feel like I'm the only...
Oh, what?
The planets. Real.
Yeah. No. Bree thinks that. Yes. Yeah. My wife does.
Drew, okay. I was really happy to hear you say that. I feel like we're in the minority of people. Anytime I bring up the new photos of the Webb Space Telescope, I feel like no one else is looking at those.
Yeah,
Every now and then.
And they're
so
cool, dude.
Oh, yeah. Something pops up on the timeline with space.
You didn't see the new ones
of
Jupiter?
No.
It's really cool.
Like, this is Jupiter.
It's like the clearest photo ever, I think.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah, they're the clearest photos of all time. I mean, they were way up in there. Give you the holes.
It looks like ducks on a pond.
I'm just telling you, it's Jupiter.
It looks like ducks are in a pond. That's what that looked like there.
They got even closer up photos of the giant spot. Whole thing.
Someone says, can I parlay that with a super volcano eruption? What's the odds? Ken, you're going to get better odds tonight on a same game parlay over
at
FanDuel.
Is that like choosing the champions? Champions of Earth's destruction?
Yeah.
You're choosing them all together?
I mean, based on a 1 in 607 chance of the asteroid, that's a first touchdown for A-Chan tonight or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to be thinking like long odd. I mean, if it was actually 607, it'd be like betting an offensive lineman to get the first touchdown.
In fairness,
a center to accidentally recover a fumble.
In fairness, you guys have never been there, therefore you cannot prove it. Technically,
again,
we are in space. Though,
that's
correct?
True. I haven't, but other people have been. Am I allowed to prove it that way or no?
Again, that's the problem. We can, you know, if you don't want to believe something, you can say it as much as you want, and it's accepted more than ever before. Up next, we will get to the Chiefs red half hour, back into the unbelievable field goal block, and one thing that the Broncos have shown the Chiefs.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Here in about 25 minutes, we're heading out to Arrowhead. Going to hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid following the big win yesterday against Denver. The only place on a Monday you can hear from Coach Reid is right here on your home for the Chiefs, your home for KC Sports, 96.5, The Fan. You guys can continue to hit us up on the Jay's Southland Soda Service text line, 913-586-7965. We always enjoy interacting with you. And as I always tell you, because people will wonder if you're blocked or whatever, just because we don't read your text on air doesn't mean we don't see. We can't read every single text, but we do see them all. I promise you, we do see all of them. We appreciate it.
I see most of them, you know? Also, you can hit us up on the video channels. TheFan965. Stream the show over on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. So if you want to interact with us that way as well, maybe sometimes Gold will wave to the camera or I'll wave, right? Hi, people who watch the video. You know.
That's weird.
You do whatever.
The way you said that,
I don't think you've ever done
guys.
That before. That's a, yeah.
How are you? Sometimes I express to the camera like.
Oh, yeah? You're way too close. Cody just, for those listening on the radio, Cody basically.
Would you guys like me to be this close all the time to the camera?
Stuck his face like right in front of the camera. I think that's terrifying to a lot of people. That's terrifying to a lot of people.
Probably a little much. That also requires me to move the microphone in a really uncomfortable way.
That is also true. Let's get back into the Chiefs game yesterday. Of course, we all know how it ended in epic fashion, and it speaks to, once again, how. And this team just find ways to win. And this was a new one. This was a new one. And it was Leo Chanel this time coming through with the block. Here's how he described the play and why they were able to get that block that ultimately led to a 9-0 start.
Dana was really the one who stopped the ball from going in. I got credit for the block, but, you know, Mike Dana was really the one who, you know, saved us on that one. But, you know, it's always competition. You know, Jay Reed's our best get-off guy, and that's always pushing me. You know, Coach Tobe dissects every field goal block and kind of just times it. All right, that's a six-frame get-off, Leo. And I'm like, I'm sitting there like, yeah. And he's like, next play, Jay Reed, two-frame get-off. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, he's an animal, and, you know, he pushes me to be better. And, you know, we got a lot of guys, you know, Derek Nnadi, George, Jack, across the whole field goal block team, you know, everybody's pushing each other.
Could have been numerous guys that got the block, but what he's talking about with Justin Reed was in the Broncos game a year ago, the Chiefs had a block as well. The Chiefs had a block in that one, yeah. And it was because Justin Reed, when he's talking about his get off, he's talking about he's just great at timing the snap. And so he was unblocked a year ago. This go around, they were not going to let Justin Reed be unblocked because the Broncos also in their film study, they knew that that's something he's very good at. So they're like, all right, we're not going to let it be him. Well, then the Chiefs smartly, they overload the right side and this offensive lineman that I guess nobody knew other than the Chiefs.
Lives on his back apparently during kick coverage.
Yeah, keeps getting pushed backwards. Well, then you match up your most athletic linebacker and Leo Chanel there. And they just pummel him. I mean, they just ran over him, and that whole left side, you know, busted wide open for the Chiefs to go through Karlaftis and Chanel, and ultimately one of the more crazier endings you'll ever see for a regular season football game.
Yeah, I mean, it was like obviously to be on this side of it. I imagine Denver's in shambles, which we can play more of that later. I'm sure they're in shambles. I was told by my sister-in-law, my brother's very much being a baby about it today. I think is the way she put it. He's not handling it.
Oh, good. You know what? Good. I hope so.
Honestly, he's not taking the Broncos.
You had your time. You took the easy escape route. You took the easy exit, and you went and shortcutted everybody and got Peyton Manning and won one.
The Chiefs tried to do that.
Screw it. I don't feel bad for you at all. Yeah. No. So, this, as we said earlier, this is the Chiefs' time. You got to get in line, and you got to wait it out. Denver, Charger, everybody in the AFC. Everybody in the NFL, wait your turn. This is the Chiefs' era. Sorry. That's where we're at.
That's life.
That's how it's going to happen right now for the Chiefs, even in games in which the Broncos outplay you, because the Broncos outplayed the Chiefs yesterday. We know that.
So obviously it was an incredible moment. There were two real things that stood out about it. One is that once I started going through the schedule, I realized how many times you could say they kind of escaped by the skin of their teeth. Like, not exactly right. There's a lot of other factors in it, but Isaiah Likely's toe is out by like an inch. And look, they were still going to have to get the 2-point conversion, which we knew they were going to go for. So that's another one, by the way. The Bucs not going for the 2-point conversion. The fourth down stop, the Falcons still have to get a touchdown. But again, it's all those like last little second things that could have gone wrong, that didn't, that allowed you this chance to win again, which you did. They're just blessed at the moment with this constant thing. The other thing that stood out to me, which I think I tweeted in the middle of the game, the Denver Broncos might be one of the three worst matchups in the league for the Chiefs, because the Chiefs have, despite the fact their offensive tackles played really poorly in this game, the Chiefs, for the most part, have been the more dominant team in the trenches in a lot of games this year.
Mm-hmm.
They got Chris Jones. They got a great interior offensive line. They have beat up some they've been able to run the ball and stop the run. They have been better in the trenches than a lot of their opponents. Denver was the first team this year where I'm like, they might be better in the trenches than Kansas City. They have an offensive line playing great. They got a lot of pressure with their defensive line. They caused problems and were a matchup problem for the Chiefs. And did it stop them from winning? No, because of a blocked field goal and everything that existed and the million great calls and moments and feelings we got out of that game. But they're just a bad matchup for Kansas City. That game coming up in a month from now or whatever will be a dogfight here. 2 months. It's the final game of the regular season.
It is
right?
The final game. Yeah. So who knows what that means for the Broncos? It could mean a playoff spot. We'll see how they keep playing.
Could mean Carson Wentz for the Chiefs by that time.
And that hopefully, you know, it depends if the team's undefeated. There's so many factors. That game could look 100 different ways.
Sure.
But in terms of what you were saying with the offense and defensive line for the Broncos, this is why I think on Friday's show, Thursday's show, I know we were discussing in passing downs, the Broncos had been grading out as the second best offensive line only behind the Colts in normal pass sets. And they done a good job protecting Bo Nix. And so we wanted to see what the front four could do if they didn't have to blitz for Kansas City. And we saw when Spags dialed up aggressive blitzes, they of course were able to get to him early on. That's the Nazi Johnson sack. They blitz McDuffie and Nazi Johnson on one play,
which is a wild play. Yeah. Think about blitzing your number one and number two corners.
So they, you know,
you're like, yeah, it's probably fine.
They had success there, but then there were other times where obviously Bo Nix was able to move out of the pocket and have success. He played pretty well yesterday, but this team, if you go game by game, like you kind of were as well, there's probably five guaranteed, maybe six of the nine wins, whereas essentially the last play of the game.
Yep.
They found ways to win. And this was a good one to win, but also for what you were saying about the physicality, because other than the Tampa in the 49ers game where they have a future Hall of Famer in Trent Williams at left tackle, this is about as good as it gets for the offensive line you're going to face. Broncos, Bucks, and Niners. I think they've already played the best offensive lines they're going to see. Now they play the Broncos, as you said, again, later. But this, to me, we've already played the best offensive line fronts that they're going to have all year, which is a good thing. You know, Buffalo's offensive line is not nearly as good as the Broncos' offensive line. We were going back and looking at earlier games. Like, the Raiders were much further down the pack. The Chargers' offensive line wasn't to this level. Like, so this was a good test, and you saw why. I think we all thought it was going to be a low-scoring game. I didn't think it was going to be a two-point margin that close, but I thought it was going to be a close, low-scoring football game, and that's ultimately what we got. The Broncos have found something, you know, in these Sean Payton years now, year two, I guess it is, against Kansas City, where they're able to kind of, you know, muck up the game a little bit and cause some problems. And what was stunning early on in the game is, as great as Spags has been, I thought Sean Payton was getting the best of Spags in the first half. Some looks. I mean, how often do we see Cortland Sutton, or Trent McDuffie, I should say, get beat in one-on-one? I mean, he flat out got beat on the touchdown. I know some people want to say he was pushed off. I didn't think so.
But I think he was beat either way.
Yeah, that was just a flat out beat. You don't see that happen to McDuffie usually.
No, and that's just part of like playing defensive back in the NFL that makes it so hard. We joked about that with Jamar Chase for years. Some guys are good at getting that little extra edge, and they'll typically give it to a wide receiver in that end. And so you kind of get that luxury. It was one of the more fun regular season innings I can remember. And I think it probably just depends on what kind of Chiefs fan you are. I think Dusty is of the opinion that the Broncos are the single biggest rival. They ruined part of his childhood. They did all those things. For you, it's probably the Broncos or the Raiders. I think for most people my age, your age, that range, the Broncos are the team they hate the most because they won 3 Super Bowls somewhere in your lifetime. Leading, you know, the two back-to-back in the 90s and the one with Peyton Manning in the mid-2000s. So to have a blocked kick go like that. But I also, to call it an accident or luck, when your record is what it is against the division, when every year, and I know some of it feels like deja vu, you're like, why are we mentioning this? Every year, I got to drive up to St. Joe, sit at a practice, when Andy Reid is like, it's division day. And what do we do today, kids? We spent our entire week at training camp, one of the 6 we get. We spent the entire week at training camp this week doing what? Only caring about how to beat the other teams in the AFC West. We don't care how good they are. We don't care if they're supposed to stink this year or be great this year. They get a whole ass day to themselves, and we're going to figure out every little tiny way to beat them. And then the end result is 33-5 against your division if you're Patrick Mahomes. That doesn't happen by accident.
Well, I would still say, wow, it's uncommon to get a field goal block. What'd you say earlier? 97% of all kicks 35 and under have been good
this year.
It is unlikely.
97%.
I think we sometimes unlikely with lucky and it would unlikely result. But then when you listen to Tobe and the players after the game and you find out some more backstory on that particular play call, that wasn't luck. Now, does it take perfect execution? Absolutely. They perfectly executed the field goal block. I don't call it luck when you tell me that you saw on film that there's an offensive lineman that you look at that has struggled to stay upright on field goal protection throughout the last 4 weeks. And so you see that and you say, okay, how can we take advantage of that? And you have a field goal block call that you used also in the Super Bowl that led to the extra point being missed by Moody, I believe, against the 49ers. The fact that that was a call you used again and you overloaded that side because you knew there was a player that was already struggling, I call that preparation. I call that execution, not necessarily luck. Are they
low percentage execution?
Low percentage,
it's like the Hail Mary with Aaron Rodgers. It's not luck when he completes them all the time. It's something about the way he throws the ball, right? There's an advantage in it. The way that they do those low percentage plays, he still hits them at a low percentage, but at a higher percentage gold than any other person in the league. That's what matters. You know what the biggest surprise for me one of the biggest surprises of the game was theirs? Were you guys shocked to see Trent McDuffie getting cooked?
Of course I was surprised.
I mean, that was like weird, right?
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton was making Trent McDuffie look bad.
Yeah, he had a rough day.
He beat him like 5 times.
Hadn't seen that in his career. Yeah, that's the first time. Sutton had 6 catches for 70 yards.
Bad footing? Sutton taking advantage of him? Just a bad day?
Well, I know he's I think it might be a bad day, but also how many other how big is Cortland Sutton? And not that Trent McDuffie can't cover other guys, but how often has he gone up against a guy who's 6'4", like 220, you know, big guy?
Yeah, he's got good size. I will say, though, with McDuffie, the height thing has been used against him his entire football career, going back to college as well, and obviously he's been able to play at an extremely high level, top three corner in the league. And so I hear you, 6'4", maybe, but like, I don't think it's so much the height.
He's like 220. Cortland Sutton's a tank. He's like DK.
I know, but he was just beating him out of the break. Yeah. You know, like some of those was not going even up like
and,
a physical.
Yeah, he wasn't going up and mossing him. Like, you know, that's not what it was.
He was just beating him at the point of attack. Look, this is the easy one versus like what we were talking about with Kingsley earlier. I'll just chalk this up to a bad day at the office. I was surprised by it because I've never seen Trent McDuffie have a bad day at the office, as far as I can tell, in his 2.5 years of being in Kansas City. But, like, he just had a bad day at the office. He got beat by a wide receiver pretty consistently. Do I hope other teams take this as a chance to continue to attack Trent McDuffie? Go for it. Go nuts! Because then that first career interception's coming eventually if you actually start throwing at him. I do not think it's an accident that we spent 8 weeks, Gold, watching teams completely avoid Trent McDuffie. This probably boils down to, like, the young quarterback don't know any better, right? Like, whatever. Not as complete as anyone, because Cortland Sutton was winning and winning and winning. Looks like the smart decision to attack Trent McDuffie. Good for Bo Nix for being aggressive enough to keep attacking Trent McDuffie. Do I think this means anything? No, he's been one of the league's best corners all year. It's hard to play corner in the NFL. This is his worst game of his career, arguably. And he gave up, what, 5 for 80 and a touchdown?
Yeah, if my number one corner is having the worst game of his career and it's only 60, 70, 80 yards and the opponent only scored 14, I think it's not, you know what I mean?
It's not that stat of Marcus Cooper when Peyton Manning was pointing at him.
Yeah, in a game in which you say it was his worst game, they still only gave up 14 points. Let's not kid ourselves. The defense still was pretty damn good yesterday.
I do want, along the lines of the defense, a question for you guys. Is there any level of, because I know the theme of the last year and a half has been the defense always gets the stop when they need to most. Last week, Baker goes down the field, scores a touchdown. Special teams is the one that saved the day. Otherwise, the defense, again, let them go down the field a little bit to get into that chip shot field goal range. Is there any concern, whether they're out on the field too much? It's not even the McDuffie thing. It's just they've the second half Spags shut down lockdown defense has been good, but not late in the end of the game where you need that drive. They haven't been able to deliver the last 2 weeks.
The final drive is the more concerning thing, because if you look at it in totality,
they don't
have serious problem. They gave up 14 points, or it would have been 17 had the kick gone in, right? But when you look at the final drive, but also
they gave up 0 points in the second half, guys.
Yeah.
I know, but if they would have won the game, the defense would have been the reason that they lost the game because they gave up that drive.
But I also wouldn't have been mad at the defense. It would have been more because Butker put him at the 40-yard line.
That's where I was going with it. We've seen it the last 2 weeks. If they do lose both of those games, the defense gives up those drives late. Yeah, is that a concern potentially going forward that you look at?
I'll give up 17 every day, 100% of the time. You want to just lock me in and the Chiefs only give up 17 points every game for the rest of the year? Lock it in. Fine with me. That's about what they're giving up, by the way, on the season. They currently sit at still the fifth lowest points against in the NFL. The Broncos are fourth because the 16 they gave up to the Chiefs was still below their season average. Right now, here are the team's defenses, top five in the league. The Chargers, of all teams, because remember how bad on defense they've been the last 5 years?
Harbaugh is a much better coach.
Under a defensive-minded coach? Yeah, because they don't make mistakes, which matters a lot in defense. 13.1 points per game. Pittsburgh Steelers, 16.2 points per game. The Minnesota Vikings, 17.4. Denver, 17.7. Philadelphia and Chiefs tied for fifth at 17.9. I mean, they're a top five defense. Those are, I think, pretty consistently the five best defenses all season. And when you look at it for top 10 points per game offense, top 10 points per game defense, there's only two teams that exist inside of that realm. It's the Lions and the Chiefs. And I think that there's probably a reason why one of them has one loss and the other has zero. And they find ways to win even when mistakes happen.
They won when their quarterback threw five interceptions last night. Think about that. The Lions won. Their quarterback threw five interceptions. It was a great game. They held the Texans scoreless in the second half.
Who do you think's feeling worse this morning? Houston Texans fans or Denver Broncos fans?
Texans fans, because their expectations were AFC title game kind of stuff. Broncos, they're still probably exceeding expectations.
Their playoff team as of this morning?
As of this morning, they would be. Okay. Both of them would be, but yeah.
Like a game or half game or whatever.
Yeah, but like the Texans, I know they didn't have Will Anderson or Nico Collins last night, so maybe they're holding on to, hey, we aren't full strength, and so we'll be fine. They should be worried that their quarterback, who was great last year, has not been able to elevate the guys around him enough. Even, yes, he's got injuries, but you would like to see him elevate, and he hasn't. They had a double-digit lead at home in the second half to the Detroit Lions. Would have been a great win. Instead, now it's pretty, I mean, it seems kind of obvious. I don't know if you guys agree, looking at the divisional standings. Look, the Texans are probably going to still win the AFC South. Aren't they kind of going to be locked? I mean, I think they're locked into the fourth seed now. I think they're going to end up, I think they're going to probably, because Buffalo and Buffalo or Kansas City, in my opinion, will be the one or the two. Then the AFC North winner, Pittsburgh or Baltimore, will be the three based on wins. I think the Texans are now, because of where they're at win loss wise, are locked in the four. That's problematic for them. You know what that means? If they win their divisional round game, depending on all that, there's a chance the Texans have to come to Kansas City in the divisional round.
Which is the worst case. And you try to avoid Kansas City as long as you can, obviously, at least on that end. Somebody did point out, they said, look at the offenses the Chargers have faced. Okay. I honestly haven't looked. Let's see. They have faced the Raiders. They stink. Panthers stink. Steelers stink. Chiefs. You know, that's a good offense. Broncos, not a good offense. Cardinals, good offense.
Yeah.
Saints, especially when they were facing the Saints. Browns and Titans. Okay. Maybe they're not the league's best defense from a point, you know, like they are points per game. But also, like, you play who you play. Last year, the Chargers defense, with pretty much the same players, could have played all of these same teams, and they would have given up 25 points a game. This year, they're managing to do 13. So either way, they're better. Maybe they're not as daunting as they're making it seem, but they held Kansas City to 17. They held Arizona to 17. They held, I mean, those are good offenses who they did not allow to score a lot of points. Matter of fact, do you know what the high watermark for points allowed for the Chargers is this year?
Like 23?
20. 2-0 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have, every other team, they have actually been statistically more likely to give up single digits than to give up 20 this year. That's a good defense.
Coming up next, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid is right here on 96.5 The Fan. I'm sure he'll be asked about that left tackle situation with Wanya Morris. Where does that stand? That's next.